Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Good morning. Well, I received a call on Friday. It was a great call. I heard that last week a number of you made some significant spiritual decisions that the Lord was working in a lot of people's lives and hearts. And when you think back to last week for yourself, if you just think right now, what was it that was happening? What were you praying about? What were you thinking about? What was kind of moving around in your heart that you were dealing with God? Because today we want to take an opportunity to take a next step. What do you do after something like that happens, something special like that? Maybe it's finding someone to pray with just for a second and share what the experience was. Maybe you want to grab a meal with someone. Maybe you want to even go a little farther and maybe start meeting with someone on a regular basis to help you grow. So today is kind of a next steps message, and we're going to give you a chance to do something like that at the end. But let's say a quick prayer before we get into that. Lord, would you continue to please change us? Please change us, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if any of you have ever been part of something where you've wanted to go to the next level. You ever hear that phrase, the next level? Like my kids play video games all the time. They like PlayStation, they play Star Wars and all this other kind of stuff. I know some of you guys play games. Come on, Fortnite, be quiet. So you understand, sometimes you like to get to that next level. Now, when I played video games, that was like in the 80s, you know, 80s time. We used to go to the arcade with the big, huge arcade games. Man, we had like Galaga, Donkey Kong. My favorite was Miss Pac-Man. I always wanted to get to the next level with Miss Pac-Man. Because you know Miss Pac-Man, remember the little fruit comes out? You got the cherry, strawberry, orange, pretzel, because you got to get a carb in there. And after the pretzel, you got a pear, and then you got banana. Banana's 5,000, dude. That's like next level. I'm kind of competitive, so I like that kind of stuff. When I grew up in a sports family, too. You know, I played a lot of sports. My dad and my grandfather. My grandfather was a baseball player. He tried to play with the New York Yankees when Babe Ruth played. Got cut, didn't make it, became an evangelist. My dad was a 3 or 4 sport athlete. He ended up becoming a pastor. And then somehow, that's just the way it goes with my family, isn't it? So I played soccer. I played goalie. Did okay there. I played baseball, center field baseball. But basketball was my favorite. All my favorite. So I grew up playing basketball. My dad was a coach for about 30 years. And I played in elementary school, junior high, then I finally made the JV team. I thought that was a big deal, man, 9th grade playing JV team. Then I made the varsity in 10th grade, and I started having these goals. What's the next level? I made varsity. Well, the next level would be, could you be maybe all conference? And then that worked out for me. And then I ended up being the most valuable player of the conference in 1990 in Washington, D.C. I scored 1,018 points. See that right there? Be quiet, okay? So I always had this competitive spirit inside to want to go to the next level. But really, would you ever want to do that spiritually? At some point, I had to ask myself, what's the next level spiritually for me? How do I grow to that next step? I like to think of the idea of Christianity like the alphabet illustration. You ever heard that? The alphabet illustration. Like letter A, we would call conversion. Letter A is that point of salvation. When you have repented of your sin, you ask Jesus to forgive you, you want to give your life to him, and you start the relationship with Jesus. Letter A is conversion. Letter Z is heaven, right? That's going to be amazing. You see these little word pictures in the Bible about heaven and streets of gold, which is interesting. Like gold down here is like the most precious metal up there. You walk on it, it's nothing. It's kind of interesting, right? But then you got this B to Y section. This B to Y section. If you called letter A conversion, fancy word, they might say justification. But this time of growth between B and Y, they might call sanctification. So really, to get to the next level, you have to get to the next letter. So for me, I've been a Christian for 38 years. I've been a Christian 38 years. So I'm way down the alphabet at like E. I'm way down there, man, because I've been growing, going to the next, you know, the next level. And when some people call growth, you know, one of the best ways for you to grow and continue in this journey, some people use the word discipleship, some people use the word mentoring. And when you think about people that influence your life, like for me, who's influenced me, mentored me, discipled me, helped me to get to the next level? I think my family, I think about my parents, I think about coaches in sports have helped me a lot spiritually. I think about teachers from elementary school, middle school, high school, college here, grad school, friends. I think about great men and women in Christian history that I've read about has helped me. And since I grew up in the 80s, Mr. Miyagi helped me a little bit. But mentoring is all about growth and development. In the Bible, now think about this in the Bible. Jethro mentored Moses. Moses mentored Joshua and some other elders in Israel. Then Joshua helped some of the remaining leaders in the army. Eli helped Samuel. Samuel helped Saul and David. Elijah, he kind of poured into Elisha, which is kind of interesting. Mordecai invested into Esther. She helped influence King Artaxerxes, which led for the liberation of God's people. Jesus spent time with 12. 11 of them helped establish the church. But there's one place that I want to go to talk about this idea of next steps in discipleship or mentoring, and that's in Acts chapter 18. If you have your Bibles, it's kind of the beginning days of the church. Acts chapter 18, or if you have your phones or whatever app you have, Acts chapter 18. We'll start with verses 1 through 3. Acts chapter 18, starting verses 1 through 3. Then Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he became acquainted with a Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently arrived from Italy with his wife Priscilla. They had left Italy when Claudius Caesar deported all Jews from Rome. Paul lived and worked with them, for they were tent makers just as he was. Now remember the rules when we read the Bible. We don't read the Bible to finish, that's your word. Read the Bible to change, that's your word. Let's review. Don't read the Bible just to finish. Read the Bible to change. Pretty much week, if you had some special thing last week, about six of you did, obviously. Can you give me a little bit more? Don't read the Bible just to finish. Read it to change. Still fairly quiet. Okay. That's a little different. Walked into the little wall there. So it says this. We know that Paul had left Athens. Things didn't go great for him there. So he goes over to Corinth and he meets this guy named Aquila. Now, Paul and he have the same job, right? They are tent makers. So they are cutting and sewing and weaving. They're building tents or working with leather. But as he meets him, gets to know him, meets his wife, Priscilla, and he has this kind of discernment that says, these two are worth investing in. I think these two I should maybe spend some more time with. And they are looking at Paul saying, you know what? We might want to hang around this guy a little bit. We might learn from him. So point number one, there's going to be six of them. Point number one is pay attention to the people around you. Point number one, pay attention to the people around you. Who around here could help you grow spiritually? Who around here could you help grow spiritually? I remember when I was a student here, I was watching this one particular guy, and he would speak in chapel sometimes, and I would sit up there and I would listen to him and say, man, this guy is a good communicator, and he's funny. He's a great Bible teacher. I remember specifically sitting in chapel in one of the messages where he was talking about personal holiness, and he said, you know, a lot of you have these issues with the things that you watch and listen to, and you say, you know, that the cursing doesn't really bother you, and the sex and the nudity doesn't really bother you. And he said, that's the problem. It should bother you and it doesn't. How is your personal holiness? And I remember thinking, man, I gotta be around this guy. And his name was Dr. Miller. He was actually the president, one of the presidents here. And I said, what am I gonna be able to do to spend some time with him? So I'm thinking, I said, I'm gonna make an appointment with the secretary. So I went in there, I'd like to talk with Dr. Miller. Is there anyone I could set up a little appointment? She said, yep, I got a little spot here for 10 minutes. Come back tomorrow. So I go and I say, Dr. Miller, I'm really excited to meet you. My name's Jeremy Kings. I was wondering if you could spend time with me, maybe mentor me and disciple me. I think I have a lot to learn from you. And he said, no. Okay, shake hands. Nice to meet you. Prez, all right, here we go. Thank you. And but that wasn't the end. He said, no, not right now, but potentially next year. Why don't you reach back every so often and we'll check the calendars as we approach next year. So I went back and I put a little thing on my calendar to call the secretary about a month from there. So I called, hey, this is Jeremy Kingsley. Just want to check back in for possibly being mentored by Dr. Miller next year. Thank you, Jeremy. Appreciate you sharing that with me. So I'm talking to her. Then I wait about four more weeks, call her back in. Yes, Jeremy Kingsley again. Just checking back in for potentially next September, starting to meet with Dr. Miller. Yep, I got that note last time when you called, Jeremy. Thank you. You know me, 4 weeks later, called him. Hey, this Jeremy, we got it. Okay, Jeremy, I'm going to change the number. Please stop calling. Okay, we got it. The next September, I did get to start meeting with Dr. Miller. We met about twice a month for that school year, and he would give me books to read and ask me questions. We'd meet for an hour, and after the first 45 minutes, the last 15 minutes was one of my favorites because he would say, you can ask anything you want in this last 15 minutes. Ask any questions. I'd ask him about sex, drugs, rock and roll. I mean, I'm asking him everything, man. And it was a time for me that was life-changing. He was pouring into me, investing in me. Pay attention to the people that are around you. All right, verse 11. It says, so Paul stayed there for the next year and a half teaching the word of God. Okay, so Paul, he is preaching, he's evangelizing, he's also establishing a church now, and he's helping people there for about a year and a half. So point number two, spiritual growth takes time. Point number two, spiritual growth takes time. You have to be patient. You can't put an acorn in the ground, all of a sudden there's a huge oak tree the next day. It doesn't work like that. One of the lessons that I learned from one of my professors here years ago was this phrase, God grows things. I like that phrase, God grows things, from Dr. Lehman. It takes time to learn how to be a good husband or a good wife. It takes time to learn about prayer or evangelism or ministry in general. It takes time to learn about integrity and humility and purity. It takes time to learn the scriptures so we can get to know Jesus. That's point number three. Point number three, the Bible, God's word, must be involved in this. The Bible, God's word, must be involved. Where does the information for your spiritual growth come from? It comes from his word. You can get to know Jesus deeper through his word. You get to know him, Philippians 3:8, right? Then you have a chance to fall in love with him, Matthew 22:37. And if you fall in love with him, you might obey him. That's John 14:15. If you love me, obey me. And that kind of obedient lifestyle gives him great glory. But it starts as you get to know him through his word. Number three, the Bible, God's word, must be involved. Go down to verse 18 and 19. Paul stayed in Corinth for some time after that, but then he said goodbye to the brothers and sisters and went to nearby Cenchrea. There he shaved his head according to a Jewish custom, marking the end of a vow. Then he set sail for Syria, taking Priscilla and Aquila with him. But when they stopped at that port of Ephesus, Paul left them and the others behind. Paul had spent a significant amount of time with Aquila and Priscilla, but now it's time for a new season. He is going to move on to a different place, but they are going to stay there. Okay, so point number four is seasons change, and so do mentors. Seasons change, and so do mentors. We go through different seasons in life. You know, like I said earlier, when I was a child, the main emphasis of my discipleship and mentoring came from my parents, right? Even though I played sports in high school in Washington, D.C., I was born in Wisconsin. I grew up in a little town there. We were in a farm community, and I remember one of the first lessons that I learned from my parents in that season of life when my mom said, and I was about fourth grade, okay, here's the deal. You're not going to be playing any sports. You're not going to be seeing any of your friends. You're not going to do anything till you plant the cornfield. Okay, so we've got this cornfield, and I mean, like, literally, it's a field. You understand what I'm saying? There's about 50 rows. She's already gone out there and hoed all these 50 rows. She said, here's how it works. Here's all your seed. You take one or two seeds, you put it down here, and you pat it down. You go about, I don't know, maybe 10 or 12 inches away, maybe a little more, 16. Put one or two more, pat that down. You do that through all these rows. Make sure it's all patted down well. Do all 50. You're not doing anything to the cornfield that's planted. Do you understand? I said, yes, ma'am, no problem. Plant the corn. So she goes away. This is down on the backside of our property in Wisconsin. So I start going through. I'm putting a seed down, patting it down, putting a seed and patting it down. I get through the first row. Looks okay. Starting to get a little tired back. Starting to hurt a little kid. Get the second row. And I said, I'm not doing this. This is ridiculous, man. It's going to take forever. I took all the corn. I poured it into one big pile. I start sprinting around all over the place. I'm kicking that stuff, spreading it, kicking. And then I go through all the other 47 rows and I pat it all down so it looks like I planted it there, which is interesting because by the time I did that, I could have planted it the right way. But I was only in fourth grade, so I didn't know. So my parents are smart, right? They're the ones that are kind of mentoring, discipling me at this time. They obviously would have known fairly soon, but they decided to wait till months down the road. By this time, I've forgotten all about that. It's a couple months later, and I come home, and my dad and mom, well, hey, Jamie, let's go down to the back side of the property and check out, you know, what's going on. We'll get some strawberries and raspberries. I'm like, yeah, let's go. We're grabbing strawberries, raspberries. We're getting down where there should be 50 rows of corn. There's two rows of corn, and the biggest, largest, most gigantic corn tree you've ever seen in your life. It was a big old corn tree like this big. And my dad goes, what is that? What in the world is that? Now, I was a little bit of a smart aleck as a little kid, and I was like, well, Dad, you know, like Jack and the Beanstalk? That's like Jeremy and the Cornstalk, you know? And he said, well, why don't you go up to the house and we're going to have another lesson in your bedroom with my belt. I know you don't do that anymore. A lot of people don't do that anymore. I understand that. But he came up and he said, I want to talk to you about something. Your mom asked you to plant the corn. When she asked you if you had planted it, you said yes. Now, I know you might think that's not a lie. I actually did plan it all, and I see what you're saying about that. But there was trickery involved. You tried to trick her, trick us. And there's another word called integrity, where there's really truthfulness in the whole thing. And you weren't really truthful in all that, were you? I appreciated that. That's one of the first lessons I remember learning in the discipleship with my parents. And as I entered new seasons, I remember in sixth grade, and I remember I had this history teacher named Mr. Downs who helped me. Then we moved to Washington, D.C. in middle school, and I had this teacher, Mr. Stockland, and I had a teacher that graduated from here named Mr. First. And then I came here and got surrounded by all these golly professors and staff, and I just kept growing, finding people to kind of pour into me. So think about that as seasons change. All right, let's keep going. Verse 24. Meanwhile, there was a Jew named Apollos, an eloquent speaker who knew the scriptures well, had arrived in Ephesus from Alexandria in Egypt. He had been taught the way of the Lord and taught others about Jesus with an enthusiastic spirit and with accuracy. However, he only knew about John's baptism. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him preaching boldly in the synagogue, they took him aside and explained the way of God even more accurately. So here's this guy, Apollos. He is a gifted communicator, and it tells you that he's very passionate. But he only knew what John the Baptist had talked about Jesus. So he doesn't understand all the things about the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit yet. Now, don't get me wrong. Passion is good. Passion is good. But passion alone is not going to get it done in the Christian life. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 2 says, zeal without knowledge is foolish, or zeal without knowledge is not good. On the other hand, you can't just have knowledge and no passion either, because 1 Corinthians 8, 1 says that knowledge can puff up and make you prideful. You need a balance of both. But he was making some mistakes, didn't really necessarily know. So Aquila and Priscilla took him aside to help him. So number five is this. Weaknesses and mistakes should be addressed. In this idea of discipleship and mentoring, weaknesses and mistakes should be addressed. I mean, if you're a friend, if you're a mentor, if you're an accountability partner, you have to be willing to bring up some of the tough issues. You have to bring up certain things. You have to bring up mistakes. You have to bring up sin or bad attitudes, maybe lack of knowledge or understanding. And that's hard to do, especially in our church society. I mean, outside in the world right now, there's all kinds of confrontation going on. People are confronting each other like crazy. But in the church world, people don't like that. They don't want you telling them about, you know, here's what an area I think you have some weaknesses, some areas you might need to grow in. You know, can we talk about this issue or this attitude that you have? And sometimes when you do bring those things up, even if you do it in a loving, caring way, it can end relationships. I've had that happen firsthand. And you have to be a person on both sides, but you have to be a humble person, a teachable person that's willing to accept that. I've had a lot of people over the years, a lot of young men and pastors that have asked me to spend time with them. One of the first questions I'll ask them, are you willing to talk about mistakes? Are you willing to talk about some places where you might have some struggles with sin? Because if you're not willing to talk about weaknesses, this probably is not going to work. But if you're willing to, I think we might be able to spend some time together. And did you notice how they did it? It says that they took him aside and talked to him. They did it graciously. They didn't embarrass him in front of a bunch of different people. You know, when I was graduating from here, one of my best friends, Adrian Dupre, you probably know him, he had graduated from the grad school here, and he had started speaking, and we started talking, and he said, hey, I think I have this idea. Would you be interested in doing a speaking internship? A speaking internship. I said, well, what does that mean? He said, well, you travel around with me, and basically, you will learn what it means to be a speaker on the road as a profession. And I said, well, how about like finances and things like that? Do I get paid? He said, oh, no, you don't get paid. Matter of fact, you have to come up with money to pay for the airplanes, the hotels, and the food. I said, well, that doesn't sound like a good deal, but let's go for it. So I shook his hand. So I started traveling with him for a while, and what was interesting is, in this speaking internship, I was never speaking. I mean, we're going to all these youth camps and all these places all over the place, and we'd get somewhere, and he'd see some people setting up like some round, those big round circular tables. Hey, Jeremy, go help those guys set up those round tables. I'd say, yes, sir. I'd go over, start putting up some round tables. We'd go somewhere else, they're setting up chairs. Hey, Jeremy, go help them set up some chairs. One time we were at a camp way out in the woods, and he said, hey, I think they're a little short in the back of the kitchen. They need some dishwashers back there. Why don't you go help them with the dishes? I said, yes, sir. I went back helping with the dishes. Well, a few months into this thing, we're on a plane. I remember this so vividly. We're coming back from Ohio. He looks at me and he goes, hey, how do you feel about the speaking internship so far? So I lie right to his face. I just lie right to his face. I said, it's awesome, man. This is great. It's one of the best things I've ever done. And you know, Adrian, he just starts laughing. Oh, man, come on, man. Come on, man. Come on, dog. Tell the truth. I said, well, I got to tell you the truth. I am a little bit frustrated. I'm supposed to be doing a speaking internship. I mean, basically, I've done all these things. I've set up tables and chairs, vacuumed, done dishes, but I haven't even spoke one time. Then he said this to me. See, when we started this thing, I already knew you could speak. I didn't know if you could serve. You ever have a phrase that someone says to you in your life that you might not ever forget, but it's impactful and it's helpful? That was one of them. And he did it when we were by ourselves. We were talking, didn't embarrass me in front of everyone when we wanted to talk through what it means to serve. And I appreciated that. It reminded me of this when they took him aside, Apollos, to talk to him and say, there's a few things we need to work on. They have to be addressed, those weaknesses. And then in verse 27, it says this, that Apollos had been thinking about going to Achaia, and the brothers and sisters in Ephesus encouraged him to go, even wrote to the believers there asking them to welcome him. So point number 6, encourage and endorse the gifts and life of the person being discipled. Encourage and endorse the gifts and the life of the one being discipled. Did you see what they did? They said, yeah, we encourage you. We think that's a great idea. You should do that. Matter of fact, we'll even write letters ahead of time to tell them that you're coming. We believe in you so much. You know, when you leave here, and maybe you've started to do this a little bit, some of you that are upperclassmen, you start to work on your resume. Now, on your resume, you're going to have some references. You're going to have someone that looks at you and says, I see your giftedness, and I see your talent, and I see your skill sets, and I see your attitude, and I want to be a reference. I'll put my stamp of approval. If someone wants to call me as a reference for you, put my name and number on there. Man, it's great when someone gives you that stamp of approval. And, you know, when you have a chance to encourage someone, when you have the opportunity to say a few kind words, please do that. It means a lot to people. And it's not just about the resume. There are times in life when you're down. There are times in life, man, when you're not sure what's happening. with all the circumstances around you. There's times when you feel lost and you need a reference. You need an endorsement. You need that person, that believer that can give that stamp for you. Those words of encouragement. That's point number six. I don't know how bad you want to grow. I don't know how bad you want to go to the next level, to get to the next letter. And you have to be willing to initiate, to reach out, to do that. I've heard students in the past at many different Christian universities say, I wish some of the coaches, I wish some of the professors, I wish some of the upperclassmen, some of these teachers would spend time with me. And I've asked them, well, how many have you asked to do that? And they say, none. I said, well, aren't you going to initiate? Aren't you going to ask someone to pray with you, to talk with you? Don't be afraid to initiate. When I was 18 years old, I drove in my 1980 Bonneville 500 miles down here from Washington, D.C. all by myself. And when I pulled up onto this road over here, a bunch of people like attacked my car. They all wearing the same shirt. I was like, what in the world? What in the world? They're like, yeah, we're here to help you. It's okay, man. We want to take all your stuff. What's your name? What dorm are you in? What room are you in? We'd like to help carry your stuff. I said, okay, my name's Jeremy Kingsley. And they look it up, and they start carrying all my stuff. And I'm like, okay, hope no one swipes anything. I'm from D.C. That's not usually what people do. So I'm looking at these students, and then I see a couple adults. I'm like, well, what's up with the old guy grabbing my stuff? And I'm like, oh, it's okay. Don't worry about him. He's one of the professors. Is you letting one of the professors carry like my fan and my clothes? Oh, he loves helping. I said, that's interesting. He said, you'll have him later. He teaches Old Testament. His name's Dr. Bart. Well, a couple weeks into school, I found out that one of my really close friends back home in Washington, D.C. was getting into some trouble. He was getting drunk and getting into all kinds of things he shouldn't be involved with. And man, it was killing me inside. And I was like, man, I need someone to like pray with me. Who should I ask? I was like, maybe I should go ask that guy that helped carry the stuff from my car. So I went over to Fisher, because that's where his office was. I knocked on the door. I said, Dr. Byer, I know you don't really know me. But one of my friends is in a lot of trouble. And I was wondering if you could pray for him with me. So went in there, we sat down, we start praying. I never, ever open my eyes when I pray. I don't know why, I don't do that. So we sit down, he said, sure, what's the guy's name? I told him the little situation. We start to pray, and as I'm listening, I can hear that he's starting to tear up, and he's starting to cry. So I decided, like for the first time, to open my eyes. So we're praying, and I'm like, and I'm like, why in the world is he crying? He doesn't know me. He for sure doesn't know my friend. But it's obviously that he has a passion to help people, to love people. As I walked away, I knew I was at a place where a new season was beginning, an opportunity to go to the next level.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.